bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Greetings from the Shirksville congregation. Some of you have been there, and those that haven't, I invite you to come worship with us some Sunday. This was mentioned in our first devotions about patience. This is the first time I have been involved in the rotation Sunday, so you will have to exercise patience with me. This is a new experience. Lately, I've been reading in Isaiah in my personal devotions, and there is a promise of God in Isaiah that we can stand on. I appreciated that song, Standing on the Promises. I invite you to turn with me for a message to Isaiah chapter 26. And I have a lot of verses this morning that I'll be turning to, but I believe that the Word of God is full of truth. And you may feel that I take some of these verses out of context, but I believe if they're in the Bible, they're for our inspiration and our learning. I'll be reading one verse out of Isaiah 26, and that verse is verse 3, and most of you could probably say this verse by memory. I'll read it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I'm going to take this verse and I'm going to break it down word by word. What is he talking about? What does this promise of God mean for us today? And the word thou is talking about God. God, that is what that word means. God will do what? God wilt, which means to, it's an action verb. Will do. Keep means to guard or protect, to maintain. Him is referring to the person that is trusting in God, the person that has his mind focused on God. And in, you know, when you're in something, we are in the church building here this morning. This cup here has water in it. There's ice cubes in the water. When we are kept by God in something, we are surrounded by God. We are in a place that he wants us to be. And where does God want us to be? It says perfect peace. God has a place for us in perfect peace. Perfect means to be complete without blemish. Perfect. And peace means, the Greek word for peace here is shalom. It means to be safe, to be well, to be happy, to be friendly. That is the place that God desires for each one of us to be in. Do you believe that this promise is real? Do you believe that this promise applies to you today? Or was this merely for the people of Israel that Isaiah was talking to? Do you understand what it means to be in perfect peace? Are you there now? Have you ever been there? Do you know where to find it? Do you know what God has for you in that place? The statement doesn't end there. It says, whose mind is stayed on thee. This is conditional. This is a conditional promise. It's not automatic. We have a responsibility to be part of this promise. We have requirements or obligations. And if you look, whose talks about means the individual that wants perfect peace. If you desire this, then you have something to do. And mind, Strong's had an interesting definition for this word. It used the word imagination. But it also used the words formed or framed or squeezed in place, or molded as pottery. Something that is disciplined. Something that isn't necessarily just on its own free will. And the word stayed means to lean upon, to take hold of, to rely on, sustained or established. So to reword this verse, we could say the person that desires perfect peace will have peace when their mind is leaning or relying on God. When their mind is established as something that is being used for God. Peace of mind is not something that we are entitled to, but is the reward for having a mind that is molded to God's specific purpose for our lives. A mind that is established on God. And the same morning that I read this verse, I also read out of Ephesians. And oftentimes when I'm reading in Isaiah and Ephesians, it seems like the inspiration for the day may come from Ephesians. But this morning, or that morning, it came from Isaiah. But there's a verse in Ephesians I want to look at. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So we had two verses contrasting what we can do with our mind. We can fill it with vanity. We can fill it with the mind of Christ. Vanity here means empty, profitless, depraved. Paul is telling the Ephesians that from now on they can't live like the Gentiles. If they're going to be Christians, there needs to be a difference between them and the people around them. They need to have a changed mind in order to be like Christ. And I would like to think for a bit about the power of our mind, because according to these verses and many more that we'll look at this morning, what we allow in our mind is going to determine if we have perfect peace in our life. It's going to determine if we're at the place that God wants us to be. If we have perfect peace or if we are living in vanity, it's all based on what we do with our mind. And I'm not going to stand here and say that you can fix all your problems by what you think or the way you think, because that's humanistic reasoning. But I'm going to tell you that if you have a mind that is renewed by Jesus, you will have a changed life and experience the peace that is promised in Isaiah. There's a professor named Aaliyah Crum, says our minds are not passive observers, simply perceiving reality as it is. Our minds actually change reality. Perhaps the best known way the mind shapes reality is the placebo effect, where people get better if they simply believe they are being treated for a disease. For ages, that was viewed as just an experimental hassle, something to take into account when testing the effectiveness of a new drug, for example. Yet doctors are starting to rethink placebos, not as a hassle, but as an actual path to better health. After all, placebo effects and the underlying mindset sets and social contexts that create them have real effects on health, from reducing anxiety and blood pressure to easing pain and boosting immune systems. Crum and colleagues have shown that those effects extend beyond medicine per se. People who believe doing physical work in a job counts as exercise live longer lives, independent of how much exercise they actually get. Likewise, telling people a milkshake they drank was indulgent makes them feel more full. Or telling them a drink that they are consuming has caffeine in it will raise their blood pressure, regardless if it did or not. It is essential to recognize that mindsets are not peripheral, but are central to health and behavior. If we truly want to tackle the diseases and crises of our time, we need to more effectively acknowledge and leverage the power of mindset. And this was done by a study at Stanford University in 2018. And the research says that what we think about is important to our health. It's important to how we live our life. Does our research agree with what the Bible says? You know, modern day research would tell you that you need to meditate. You need to spend time in meditation in order to have a fulfilling life. What does the Bible say? Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 63, 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, what it doesn't tell you here is why he wasn't sleeping, but it tells you what he was thinking about. And I believe we need to spend time meditating on God's word, thinking about what he's done for us and what we can do for him. Who remembers, or who can tell me what the third verse of the first song we sang this morning was? Did you help sing? Were you thinking about what you were singing about? Starts, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. You know, that is not a prophetic statement. That is something we can experience today. Where am I meditating? What am I meditating on? Psalm 77, verses 10 through 13. Psalm 77, verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Am I dwelling in my infirmities, or am I dwelling on the promises of God? Am I remembering the goodness of God? The psalmist starts out here, this is my infirmity. He didn't ignore his problem, but he didn't focus on it. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's research that shows that what we think about affects our health. Is that biblical? Proverbs 13, verse 12. And some of these verses are pretty self-explanatory that I won't make a lot of comment on them. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. You ever see somebody whose eyes had no hope? Somebody that didn't have Jesus in their life. Somebody that needed him. And maybe they came to know Jesus, and their eyes reflected the joy that was in their heart. Proverbs 17, verse 22. 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Isaiah 55, 7 through 9. And this is talking about what God is saying about our heart, our thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God knows that we aren't equal with him. God knows that we can't think like he does. And I don't know that in our finite minds we will ever understand God while we were on earth. But we have redeeming power available through Jesus that we can communicate with God. And God knows our thoughts even before we think them. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 20. First Corinthians 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Wisdom on earth is considered vanity with God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. And he knows if our thoughts are toward him or if they are vanity. And Solomon has a bit to say about vanity in Ecclesiastes. Solomon was the wisest person that had ever lived. He's also one of the richest in earthly possessions. And yet I wonder if he ever experienced the peace that God intended for him by the blessings that God gave him. You're going to look up at a few verses in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 1, 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. If our focus is only on what we can see today, we will consider it all vanity. Even if we don't consider it, it is all vanity. We will have the same conclusion that Solomon had, that there is no profit in it. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. Said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And we like to think that young people are in their prime of life. They're full of energy, full of ambition. But if it isn't for God, it's all vanity. Back to Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And these four verses in Ecclesiastes are only four of the 29 times in this book that Solomon talks about vanity. But how do I apply these verses to today? Solomon said to his heart that he would try mirth and pleasure. In 2025, it's predicted that people will spend over $3 trillion on entertainment, on movies, news, and media. 40% of this will be done on a smartphone or tablet. And the fastest growing markets are the countries that are getting internet access and providing smartphones to their people. The professional sports industry is projected to generate $2.65 trillion. And you know, none of that $5.5 trillion is going to contribute any peace to the world. There was a man that was asked a number of questions. He was walking down the street with his daughter. And this man said, hey, how well do you know your daughter? He said, I'd like to ask you some questions. So he asked him, he said, who's your daughter's favorite friend? Well, he wasn't sure. What's her favorite food? He didn't know. But he had a cap on of a certain baseball team, and the man said, well, if I ask you questions about that baseball team, would you know? And I don't remember what team it was or when they won what game, but he could list every player from 25 years ago that had played on this ball team, but he didn't know about his daughter beside him. Our minds are capable of amazing things. They can hold a tremendous amount of information. What am I putting in there? And there are things that we can fill our mind with that are sin. We can spend time in lust, with pornography, or listening to sensual music, or reading romance novels or wrong books. And those are wrong. And James says in chapter 1, verse 15, that when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But there are a lot of other things that, while they may not be wrong, they are vanity, even necessary things. When I was a teenager, Jimmy's age, I could tell you what year a Chevy truck was just by looking at it, by what wheels it had, by what the mirrors were, the lights, the grill, you name it. I knew. And even today, my brothers and I will have this. One of us will post a picture or something. What year is it? And we know if you post a picture, that's the only question. What year is it? Most of those trucks today are wore out or rusted out. They're gone. There's still some around, but they're not. Filling my mind with that was vanity. There is no peace in knowing all that information. And if you expect to find peace in your vehicle or in a vehicle, not only will you be disappointed, you are also deceived. If you have a property that you live on, you probably put a lot of time into it in upkeep, in maintaining it. Nice properties don't just happen. And while it might provide a certain level of satisfaction, it won't provide peace. Solomon said as he looked at all the works that his hands had done, all the work that his people had done for him, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And if our mind is full of the things of this world, then our mind is like the Gentiles, is full of vanity, walking in the vanity of our mind. So how do I get a mind that has stayed on Christ? How do I get a mind where I can find that perfect peace? Isaiah 55. Verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We need to understand that we need God in order to change our mind. By ourselves, it is impossible. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we need to realize that our mind without Jesus is vanity. And God has provisions in place for us so that we can give our lives to him, so we can have a renewed mind, so we can have a mind like Jesus, a mind that is focused on the eternal and not on the temporal. mind that is focused on relationships instead of possessions. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does the mind of Christ look like? The mind of Christ, here says, is a mind of humility, a mind of servanthood, a mind of sacrifice, a mind that loved his fellow man so much that he gave his life for it, for them. Is that the kind of mind I have? Philippians 2, verse 1 to 3. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind, that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm going to read these same verses, Philippians 2, 1 through 3, out of the Living Bible translation. Verse 1, is there any such thing as Christians cheering each other up? Do you love me enough to want to help me? Does it mean anything to you that we are brothers in the Lord, sharing the same spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic at all? Then make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and mind and purpose. Colossians 1, verse 21. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, and made a minister. You know, we have to understand that if we have not been reconciled to Jesus, then we are his enemy. But it's through faith that we can receive the mind of Christ and the hope of the gospel. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. A renewed mind is a miracle that is only possible through the work of Jesus Christ. But each of us is responsible for what we keep putting into our mind. Research has proven that a person can improve their life by disciplining their mind, by disciplining what they think about. But it's only the work of Jesus that can fill our life with that perfect peace that is promised us in Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I have a quote here by Henry David Thoreau. As a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. And I'll read that again. As a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts that we wish to dominate our lives. You know, if we want to have a mind that is stayed on Jesus, then we need to spend our time filling our minds with thoughts of Him. Read His Word. Meditate on it. Spend time in prayer. Do you have a renewed mind? Are you kept by God in perfect peace? Peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. And the last verse is Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's kneel for prayer.